Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask your anointing and wisdom today to go forth, and that the saints will rightly discern, and that you grant us grace to be prepared for these days that are coming, and to recognize the error that's out there. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to continue with the beast's great deception, number 5. Okay, I'm going to start with a revelation given to Mina Lee Jones on 3/3/23. And it was called, Thus Saith the Lord, A Season of Death. This kind of fits with some things I've shared recently, and I believe it's correct. I want to share an experience I had several nights ago. It has taken me several days to process everything that I was given, but my prayer is that all that is shared will be taken to heart, for time is short. We have crossed over into an unprecedented season. There's no turning back now. At times, the Lord will come and take me by the hand because he wants to show me something. And in a vision, I found myself looking out of my bedroom window, however, and what I saw outside was not my neighbor's yard. Instead, I saw a hearse pull up into the side of the house, and as if there was a garage there. In actuality, there isn't one. I saw people come and begin to unload the casket, and many people came mourning. I understood that someone well known had died. I believe a lot of well knowns are dying and will die. The scene changed, or more like rewound. And again, I saw a casket being unloaded from the back of the hearse. But this casket was different from the one prior. Once again, people began to draw near, mourning. There was another funeral. And this vision repeated again and again, with different caskets, different sizes and colors being unloaded. Different types of people, I presume, across the board. Evil don't have any boundary. It covers all races and all groups and everywhere, And the Lord is going to judge evil. It's like a Passover, right? The Lord was standing behind me at the window. He said, there will be much death this season, even in the church. There will be death of leaders, some well known. There will be death of those who say they know me, and there will be those I will call home. Amen. So there can be good and there could be bad, but God knows who is who. So, thus saith the Lord, a great deception has fallen upon those who are called the church. Many continue to build their treasures here. Many are holding on to this life. Therefore, they will lose it. There are many who have rejected my voice. I have called them to turn from the wickedness of their hearts. I see and know all things. I see and know that which is hidden. They put on their pricey attire and speak fancy words, but within is a stench, a festering wound. They are clothed with rebellion, and their shoes are pride. Many will not turn from that which sexually defiles them. I have warned them, but they turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to their sin. Therefore, I will remove them from my sight, says the Lord of hosts. Well, this is true. We've received the same warning for a group of people that actually are a cult of different forms of perversion. And the Lord has told us the same thing concerning that. But it's not just that cult. It's around the world, right? Matthew 24:23-27, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Well, Jesus, folks, is not coming the way the apostates think. They've always been wrong on this. He is coming in his people before he comes for his people. Yes, he is coming in his people. Stop running place to place searching for me. Be still and learn to dwell in the secret place. There is where you will find me, says the Lord. The scenes changed, and I now found myself looking through what seemed to be a small opening or window, but without a pane, or glass covering, in other words. I understood I was looking down into a hidden room, and this room was dimly lit. I then saw the president, Biden, walk in, and I knew he was there to have a secret meeting with someone. And after a few minutes, a door opened and I heard it, but did not see it. And someone walked in. It was Putin. The two began to converse quietly, but I could not hear the content of their discussion. The scene changed again, and I saw Russian troops marching across various places. I was given the knowledge that his, that is Putin's, territory will be expanded. And of course, we know he's running the Nazis out of the Ukraine and finding all the perverse things underneath the Ukraine. Crane in the tunnels and so on and so forth. He's doing the world a favor, kind of like what Trump is doing, you know. I saw a principality, a fallen angel, working with Putin, and this principality was given specific permission to work with the bear, Russia, and allow it to conquer. I asked, will Putin break his alliance with Trump? This is me now. I'm asking this. I asked the Lord this. And I got two heads for yes. And I asked, can this be changed? And I got two heads for yes. Because many times God sends us something because he wants a change, right? But somebody's got to pray, okay, to do that. So he said it can be changed. So we bind the witchcraft and the faction spirits that the wicked are throwing against Putin in the name of Jesus. We break their power and we cast them down in the name of Jesus. We forbid their action in this regard. And this agreed for new territory in Jesus' name. And his greed for new territory. We break the power of greed in Jesus' name for new territory. Amen. Let him continue to walk with the alliance to bring down the Babylonians, which he is doing. I need to add that 2 weeks ago, while I was in prayer, I inquired in my heart about this season unfolding and the task I have been given. I felt tired within my soul, and I asked how much longer would his bride have to endure before he gathered us. Okay, well, you know, she's had What kind of gathering is she talking about? I'm not sure, but she has been pre-tribulation on this, and everything she sees seems to be contrary to that. And she's asked the Lord, why? But the Lord is leaving it up to her to seek truth. Okay. I nodded off in an upright position. I then heard the audible voice of the Lord. He spoke with sternness and said, I have already shown you that war will come to your land, America, before I gather my bride. Yes, it will. Matter of fact, we're in one right now. It's not what a lot of people would call a war, but it definitely is a war. Okay. And the alliance is winning, but it's also costing a lot of people their lives. Okay. The last thing I was shown was some type of massacre or war erupting in the Middle East. And I was inside of a mosque where hundreds of people were, men, women, and children. They were hiding. There were people outside breaking the door down. And I could hear the loud pounding on the doors as if a battering ram was being used. Eventually, they broke through and in came men with military gear and machine guns. And they opened fire and began killing everyone in sight. I saw piles of bodies being gathered. I have felt the burden of the Lord in this season. This season will not be reversed. No, the season will not be reversed, but some things in it will be reversed, as we know. And actually, you know, I'm not sure whether Mina understands this or not, but some of the things she said, which I believe were probably correct, God's people prayed them down. And it didn't come to pass. That's no reflection on her. She gave the warning, and people took the warning and did something with it. Okay, many hearts will fail because of fear. Many will rise up and turn against one another. Yes, the factions will faction. And many will be offended. That's the reason people get turned over to the devil, because if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven, right? A separation within a separation is here. Yes, we've been saying this too. The factions will faction. That's what how God deals with people who faction others. They get factioned themselves. It's history. It's just... they lay a trap, but they fall into it. Amen. And as with all things, take this to prayer for confirmation. Yes, we do. Thank you, Lord. So portions of this broadcast contain graphic descriptions. People with children may want to skip this portion, or at least have the children skip this portion. It's not that gross, but still, they may not understand, or it's up to you as a parent to decide these things. So we're going to call this New Forms of Human Flesh Harvesting. Ready or not, it is coming. And this was posted by Handmaid of the Most High on 12/23/22. Romans 1:20-27. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. This is happening. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Yes, we know some people just like this, and we're sad. We pray for them. We pray for the elect among them to come out, and I do believe they will. 23. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. In other words, everything is more valuable than God, and to put our love upon and follow after and spend our time on and so on and so forth. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Yes, we know that this is happening among the factions, the one in the church and the one in the government. And the Satanists in the government, of course, they promote this kind of action because Satan demands perverseness. If you want to know who's a Satanist, find the perverts. Yes. Okay, 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, and it does destroy them. So, as again, the faction in both church and state are into this garbage. Satan demands it of his followers. So, this prophecy is particularly focused on the United States, Canada, and Europe. You, my children, live among a very abominable people. They worship their flesh and the flesh of others. Where you see people, they see sexual abuse and fresh meat to eat. Where you see beauty, they corrupt it in ways that originated in the deepest parts of hell. They are preparing human flesh en masse to be consumed by those who hunger for protein, since they have been busily destroying the meat sources using all sorts of excuses that are lies. Avian flu, swine fever, mad cow. They are gathering these animals and allowing their flesh to rot so that people desire a substitute, which they are growing in human-like incubators. They will sell these babies like chicken. They will have recipes for you to adapt to these new options. Soon you will enter restaurants that specialize in this new cuisine. Listen, I just read just recently of a restaurant that served human flesh. They advertised it. How did they get away with that? I don't know. I judge Sodom and Gomorrah, and I will judge you too, says the Lord. Yes, he will. But they don't believe it. Their demons make them feel very comfortable and so on and so forth, and very confident. After I received this message, I was shown a video on a YouTube channel called Redacted. They had covered a story about babies that were in man-made incubators by a company called Ectolife, reported on December the 14th, that are grown from conception until they are harvested 9 months later. And I got a link here. You can go look at it. They already have 80,000 such incubators. The Holy Spirit told me that despite the claims that this was an aid for those who couldn't carry a baby to have their own child, in reality, this technology will be used to supply human meat to those who prefer cannibalism. That's a demon that is growing, you know, in America and in the world. And I've had several other messages on the prevalence of cannibalism and how human remains have been incorporated in today's meat sold in grocery stores and, I would say, fast food restaurants. That's leaked out, too. So, without the knowledge of the purchaser. Does that remind you of the old movie Soylent Green? Yes, it does. For this reason, it is critical that you be led by the Holy Spirit on what to purchase and what to eat. Always pray over your food especially if you do not know the source of the meat. We know that some fast food restaurants have been serving meat that is not what they claim. This will become a bigger problem going forward. Yes. December 23rd, 2022. The Holy Spirit added, "Children, I am the creator of all life. I will not be mocked. The enemy will always come stealthily to you to trick you into believing that what you are doing is acceptable and compatible with my plans and desires. And while some among you long for children, there are many children that are living today longing for parents. I make families where there were none. I can bring just the right child into your life. Seek me for your answers and solutions, not man, not machinery. I value every life equally. You must put your trust in me and me alone. I love you and would never mislead you. Will you not seek me first? Come and worship the creator of all life, the one who loves you beyond your wildest imagination. Those who pretend to create life are an abomination, and their works will be their demise. Clone factories are being discovered and destroyed by the military, by the way. I will not allow man to continue to provoke me to anger. I will bring heavy judgment upon all those who would seek to profit off human flesh, be it for meat, be it for sexual abuse, be it for breeding women, or be it for servitude. Those who corrupt my plans will be held accountable. Repent for your wayward land, who glorifies the flesh over the creator of all flesh. I will be holding all to account for their wayward ways. I, the Lord, have spoken." The elites often mock people by cunningly showing in movies, songs, and even news their intentions. A movie made in 73 called Soylent Green revealed their intention to turn us into cannibals unwittingly. Mm-hmm. And there are certain diseases like kuru that people who eat human flesh get. It's a judgment from God. Hillary, I believe, had kuru, and probably a lot of the people that were around her. Anyway, this was given to Claire Pienaar, 10/12/21. Children saved from the harlot beast. Amen. Well, I believe Claire represents the bride in this dream because her name means brilliant, and the bride's garments are bright and pure, as spoken of in Revelation 19 and 8. And the fine linen that she wore was bright and pure, and it was the righteous acts of the saints there. "I dreamed I was on a bus, and then it stopped, and I got off." Well, UBM has been described as a school bus in many dreams. And, of course, Claire is in UBM. "And I was in a desert, and I walked a little while." The desert represents the wilderness tribulation. Revelation 12 and 6 says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. Then I saw a high school friend named Linda, whose name means beautiful serpent. She was wearing a full-length, sensual-looking red satin dress, and she was standing in a self-made freestanding doorway, offering up idols to the sky. These were little gold-plated trinkets that reminded me of Buddhism or Hinduism." Well, Linda represents the serpent that cast forth lying waters out of its mouth, like the harlot church of our day, which has carried many away and will carry many away. And this represents lies, right? The waters of the word, of course, are the truth, and the waters of the devil, of course, are a lie. Revelation 12:13-17 says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth," is this happening? This war is bringing this to pass. Because the dragon, of course, is the god of Babylon, and he is the devil, according to Revelation. And his complete authority over the world is being broken for the moment. Okay. "When the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man child. And there was given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle," that means represents overcoming, right? "That she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent." It's been prophesied that Trump was going to give us time to educate the woman in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. "And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream." There's much delusion out there. One of them that's coming really fast down the road is the aliens. They're going to convince people that they are aliens, and that there may be good aliens and bad aliens. And, of course, it's just good demons and bad demons. There's no such thing as good demons, right? That's right. Okay, 16. "And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth." And because the world is going to swallow this, and the worldly church is going to swallow this, right? "And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed, that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus." Yes, indeed, you're going to be tested. Jesus was tested by the dragon in the wilderness, wasn't he? Yes, he was. "As she walked around, she was giddy with excitement and laughter. I went to a hall not far from this makeshift altar and saw many young children in white clothing. I started praying for them. Then I started walking among the children and prayed more." Well, spiritually speaking, these children are captives of the harlot, whom the Lord will save out of Babylonish religion. And in the literal sense, these children are captives of the deep state Satanists who sacrifice them to Molech. And I would say the church Satanists who are a faction also sacrifice their children to the devil. I saw one man's child who looked like a boy. You could not tell her from a boy. She was a sweet little girl, and he fell into faction, and then this happened. Yeah, it's sick. "I received my by faith at random with my finger on babes." 1 Peter 2:2. In context 1-5. "Putting away, therefore, all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes," that's where the finger fell, "long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, unto whom coming a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with God elect, precious. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Amen. That's what we're called to be and do. "Then I went back to the makeshift altar, and she was gone, and the trinkets were gone. And I praised God. I saw a vision then of this lady's friends who said she's never going back out there. Uh-oh. Our prayers will conquer the plans of the enemy against the elect of God. God's bride is conquering the witchcraft that the faction in the beast and in the apostate church is sending towards them. The beast will devour the harlot, and she will be no more. In other words, a faction will come in the midst of the dragon, and these two will be fighting one another. Revelation 17:16 says, "And the ten horns which thou sawest, and the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire." Of course, they're going to plunder the harlot, right? And God put it in their heart to do that. Then it seemed I was getting ready for a celebration out there, like a baby shower or a birthday party. I don't know why I thought that in the dream. I didn't help with the setup or decor, but I knew something was happening, and I was a part of it. Well, you know, when Jesus returns as a man-child born to the woman, he will celebrate his seven-year marriage feast, and that is, of course, the tribulation. And as I've said in the past, the bride is not invited to her own marriage, but she does the inviting, okay? So this invitation are others beside the bride. As Revelation 19 points out, they have a different garment. It's not as bright and pure as the bride, okay? And she went on to say, "I received by faith at random," Mark 10 and 27. Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." With God. Okay, all things are possible with God. Okay, and Claire had this one too, 12:13-21. "They are beyond evil." It is true. There are such evil people out there, and they are so proud of themselves. Claire represents the bride here again, I believe. And Rion here probably represents the man-child because his name means Little Lion King. I dreamed that Rion and I were seated in front of a double elevator on white bleachers. And next to us was a well-known basketball player or actor with a gold tooth and a Chicago Bulls shirt on. Well, in the natural, she says, "I don't know this person. Maybe he is not well known, but he looked like he was." Yes, he's well known. This sounds a lot like Dennis Rodman, who has a couple of gold teeth and played for the Chicago Bulls. She said he might not exist in real life or play that specific sport, but Father used it to give us a warning. And, of course, he chose her because she didn't know this, you know, to confirm this dream, right? And I thought of the Bulls of Bashan, which were a form of idolatry with a false Jehovah, right? The priests spiritually groom the silly women and take them away from the real Jesus. And this man could also represent a corporate body of deep state sex scandals. One search will tell you why. There were many of these types in Hollywood and in sports industry. President Trump has done more than anyone to get rid of the pedophiles, which the factions are full of. And the Hollywood is too. Yeah. And they are getting rid of them. They are, you know, removing them from this earth. He had these girls around him who looked like prostitutes, and they all looked rough, spoke rough, and had weapons on them. They were dressed in black ripped jeans and black spaghetti strap tops. Well, all those who have prostituted themselves for money and power to the deep state are submitted to darkness. And also all of the daughters of the harlot are prostitutes, and they are submitted to darkness. The devil weaponizes them against the children through their false doctrines. Rion took his smartphone out and as the elevator doors opened and took a photo of two little girls who were standing there in the elevators. They were not older than 5 or 6 in the dream. Each girl was in a separate elevator. The basketball player looked them over and said, "Oh, yes, they will do. Take them down." So, and I'm guessing this is to the underground trafficking tunnels. Please pray for these children that are down there. Folks, they are rescuing many, but many they bring up dead. And many have been found in the tunnels, and some dead, some alive. The little girls were smiling at us and looked so innocent and sweet and slightly old-fashioned. I believe these little girls represent two types or bodies of people, those in the world physically trafficked and those who are young in the Lord or immature Christians who are currently submitted to darkness and trafficked by their lusts of the flesh and by their gold-mouthed pastors. Yes, that's true. They're being trafficked. And if you don't believe it, hang with me. The devil hates innocence and always wants to steal it away from the children as well as the spiritual children. Amen. I went cold as I realized those girls were being trafficked. Rion had managed to take a photo. I looked at it and committed their faces to memory. One girl I recognized from our town. She is a foster kid called Mariah. Or Mariah. And I think Mariah means chosen of the Lord, according to BibleStudyTools.com. The other girl looked like my little sister when she was a little girl, except with black hair. Her name is Candace. In the Bible, there is Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. In Greek, the name means glowing or fire white. Spiritually, these little girls represent the elect of God who will be rescued from the apostate groomers who are devouring the sheep, both in the spiritual and in the physical, right? The basketball player with the gold tooth came up to us and said to Rion, "I will kill you if you try to do anything about those girls or do anything with that photo." Rion replied, "I'd like to see you try. You can do nothing to the light." Isaiah 54:17, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness which is of me, saith the Lord." We raced downstairs, and I saw a big warehouse and locked my eyes on the girls who were just coming out of the elevator on that level. I had to walk through many clothing racks filled with clothing. Then I lost sight of the girls. I cried out in agony, and I could not believe I had lost them. I was not distracted, so why did I lose them? Then I realized that there were many hidden back doors and secret passages in the walls. So as I came to a large center aisle, I noticed that this warehouse level went down in levels. And as I investigated each tunnel, I saw the most dreadful things, children being taught to masturbate, children being taught to breed with dogs, children being taught to sexually perform with adults. On one level, I saw teenage girls who were trying to be good moms to really young children, but all they knew was how to keep themselves alive by being sexual, so this is what they taught the children. And there were animals like white Labradors being bred for the same purposes. I saw an old man at one of the lowest levels who was doing dreadful things with young boys. I can't type it, but I saw it, and I felt powerless. And all of this happened on the right side of the warehouse. I did not venture to the left side of the warehouse, which obviously could have been worse, I guess. Anyway, the deep state Satanists are doing unspeakable things to the children in these underground tunnels, just as the apostate leadership is doing unspeakable things spiritually to God's children by molesting them with their false doctrines. Remember, the seed that Jesus sowed was the sperma of the kingdom. But the same thing happens in the negative, right? They're sowing the devil's seed. The gold-toothed man said, "I run a pretty big network. You won't find them." I thought, I have to find them. I went up a few levels and knocked on a wall that opened halfway, and I saw the two little girls disappear into the dark tunnel behind this front portion. The stench was terrible, and I could not follow. I couldn't even fit in the tunnel if I wanted to. I prayed and prayed. Then Rion took me out, and we were flying above a large castle in Europe. Well, the man-child and bride overcome the kingdom of Babylon. This looked like the castle in Germany called, I can't pronounce it, Neuschwanstein or something, castle, which inspired Walt Disney to create the Magic Kingdom. The greenery and the setting of this castle was beautiful, and so I focused on that. I couldn't look at the castle. It made me sick to my stomach. Allegedly, Walt Disney was an evil deep state pedophile, and he created Disney World and Disneyland as a child sex trafficking front organization. Yes, children have disappeared there, okay? Not confirming what is said here, but I've heard the same thing. You just have to kind of lay that on a shelf, okay? I kept on wondering about Mariah and my young sister. Then I woke up, distressed. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Zephaniah 3:11, and my finger was on in that day. In that day shalt thou not be put to shame for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee thy proudly exalting ones. That's happening. And thou shalt no more be haughty in my holy mountain. God is cleaning up any group of people who wants to be clean and seek truth and live truth. He is removing these perverts from the midst of them. And these factious people, which end up being the same thing, from the midst of them. So, this was given to Winnie Asageta, 1:1:22. The Lord is saving the children from the wicked. Oh, praise be to God. I dreamt that I entered a house and saved a couple of children from wicked people. I believe Winnie represents the bride who will save the spiritual children from the harlot. There were two children in the house that I knew of, and they were in two different bedrooms of this house. And when I walked in, I could see the walls had a dull red color. This is a house of sin and bloodshed, right? One of the bedrooms was on one side and the other bedroom was on the other. I knew that I was there to save the children, and I had a silver knife that kind of looked like a dagger in my right hand. And she puts, representing our sword of the Spirit. Amen. So, we should take this seriously. Jesus gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. We can use his authority as a sword to battle with these pedophiles and child traffickers. Amen? And Father, we do cast them down. We send the angels to cast them down, to reveal their sources, to reveal their trafficking, and to bring them down in the name of Jesus. As soon as I walked in, I could see a slender woman with black hair wearing a short black slip dress that would be classified as lingerie, and she was a harlot. And I walked towards her and immediately stabbed her in the heart and removed a dark-haired Caucasian boy from that bedroom. Well, okay. We have authority, don't we? To say no to the devil. We bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ. All over the world you are bound, and the Christians are going to wake up and do the same thing. You are bound in the name of Jesus. We command your failure. We command the revelation of who you are and what you do to be known. I then looked into the other bedroom and saw a very obese man in a casual black button-down collared shirt. And he had the other child on the bed. And I do not remember what this child looked like, but I entered the bedroom and immediately stabbed this man in the heart, removed the other child, and left. Then I woke up. All right. Well, in case you don't know it, God does speak judgment through people. People themselves cannot judge. But God can use people to do that. He did it all through the scriptures. He did it with Ananias and Sapphira, right? So, it does happen. And Lord, we just pray that you either save these predators or take them out in the name of Jesus. We know you're taking them out around the world. Your word says, Lord, I kill and I make alive, I, the Lord of hosts. So, Lord, you do that. And we pray, Lord, success for those that are saving the children. And we pray that more Christians will take it into heart to do the spiritual warfare. So this is a dream of HRC and Esau. That's Hillary Rodham Clinton. And this is Claire Pinar, 12/22/21. I dreamed that there was a young girl, maybe late teens or early 20s, who was in a big block of apartments. And I believe she represents the immature Christians caught up in self-works of the institutionalized church. Well, this girl also literally represents a corporate body of women and children who have been trafficked in cooperation between the government and the apostate church system, as we will see later in this broadcast. Each apartment was about the size of a shower, and I'm reminded of a gas chamber. The building looked like it was made from concrete and seemed unfinished. It reminded me of the old communist buildings of Eastern Europe or of the Nazi prisons from World War II. This building is representative, I believe, of the apostate church that is unfinished or incomplete and has taken captive the people of God, who are eventually dismembered and spiritually killed. You know, you can be dismembered from the body, contrary to what some people say. You know, if a people come there and get saved, they shouldn't stay there very long, because they go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies, the Bible says. And so there's a great falling away that's caused totally by apostate preachers. If you tell people the truth, you arm them with the truth, they will be able to conquer their enemies. And that's the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, right? So this young girl had long, dark hair and wanted to take a shower, representing being submitted to darkness and seeking spiritual cleansing in the wrong place. She had a large brown bath towel and her and a yellow sponge with her and a yellow sponge. I told her, don't go. She would not listen. The colors of the towel and the sponge represent flesh and self-works, which will never make us clean. It'll never cause us to overcome sin, right? And because they're tools that aren't pure and righteous to begin with. In the dream, I had a vision of HRC saying, she must be killed, in reference to the young girl. I think HRC represents the deep state beast and harlot, right? She's, of course, a representative, was a representative of the government and a harlot. So that's why deep state beast and harlot. And by the way, they captured two of HRC's clones. They know they were clones because they examined them. And they put them to death. One was on the East Coast. One was on the West Coast. One of them, when standing next to Bill, was considerably shorter and younger than HRC. Yeah. A red-haired man called Esau came up to me, dressed in a tight-fitting khaki-colored T-shirt with camouflaged army pants and black boots. Well, Esau represents the militant old man of the flesh who is in service to the beast and the harlot. He represents those who are traitors to their brethren, Jacob or Israel or the church, because that's who they represent. So, he had silvery military dog tags around his neck. He had a clipboard and a black pen. It was like he was taking roll call of all those in the building. Probably some legalism involved here, you know. I was not on his list. I believe I represent the bride, corporate body who is hidden in plain sight and receives supernatural protection from her King, Jesus, because she abides in the secret place of the Most High. The young girl started making her way up the stairs, and I said to him, leave her alone. And he smirked and said, what do you mean? He was playing dumb and trying to hide his assignment from HRC. But I'd already seen the vision unbeknownst to him. I raced upstairs to save the girl, but when I got there, I just saw her towel. And I looked in each shower, and then the Lord gave me another vision of her body chopped up and stored in one of the lockers. So the faction in the church and government always divides and factions people against each other and separates the members from each other and God. I reeled in the dream, and I said, but Hillary is locked up. How can she order this? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I woke up. Well, I just gave you one of the clues there, and that was a report by the military that they captured those two. They found out they were clones. They learned how to identify a clone from the original. And it's not really that hard. So, this is another one given to Claire, 7:10:22. Woe to those who kill the spiritual fruit. I dreamed I was in a queue for boarding a plane for a tennis tournament. And Rion said, this could represent the race that we are in to overcome the old man by using the round yellow ball representing the sun slash word to overcome the opponent. Tennis is played on grass or clay, representing stepping on and overcoming the flesh. You'll often see at the end of the Wimbledon grass tournament that the grass is all withered away where many have overcome their opponents in subsequent matches. Good point. I saw a pharmacist with dark hair called Nicola. Come join the queue. Nicola represents those under or in the Nicolaitan error. I knew this was not good. Well, the Nicolaitan error of a man-led church is fond of the use of pharmakia, which is healing by drugs. And the harlot uses pharmakia, translated as witchcraft in the Bible. She kept on sending messages on her phone. It looked like she was checking up on all those in the queue. Then on the plane, a woman was giving birth to her first child, and Nicola called the authorities. The enemy wants to prevent the woman from giving birth to the man-child, which is Christ in you. Christ is our example. And he never used pharmakia or witchcraft. The apostates keep people under false doctrines and prevent the man-child Jesus from being birthed in the womb of their hearts so that they walk as he walked. 1 John 2 and 6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You see, we are disciples, not what the world calls Christian. A disciple is a learner and a follower. They study the master to walk in his steps. That's what Christianity is, and we've been lied to. And people don't have that hope. In fact, that hope is cast out of them in these past apostate churches, you know. She thought it looked too hard and was apparently fearful for the mother's safety. I knew she was immature because, of course, birthing is hard. Well, the apostate church does feel it's too hard to walk as Christ walked, so they lower the bar. But this is not a disciple who studies the master to walk in his steps. Amen? They take that out of people. There are many people who are in the queue for this last tournament between the old man of the flesh and Christ, and many have errors in doctrine represented by Nicola. It is these people who will persecute the true bride of Christ. You know, Nicolaitan means to conquer the laity, and it's a priestly order in the New Testament, very physically priestly order, and it's wrong and it's evil, and it's been passed down from the mother to the harlots, making a pastor the head of the church, when in the New Testament there was a fivefold ministry, right? For they feel they could never walk as he walked. They're not given that hope, that faith. If they would just go aside and read the Bible, they would see it, you know, and seek truth. So all of the Nicolaitan churches feel this way and can't grow up into his image. They have no faith to do that. The plane was grounded, and about 10 policemen and 10 nurses came in. The baby was fine, though. These officials took the new family out of the plane and kept them in a holding area. I went with them to make sure they were okay. Well, that sounds like them. They'll take control of you so that you don't cause a miracle. The devil hates those, right? They want to control you. So these policemen and nurses formed a square around me. In the square were stairs, and I was standing on the top step. They told me I could not help. And I asked them, "And what makes you think you can help?" The one policeman struggled to hide his hate for me. Through gritted teeth, he said, "We have the right from the state. Babies must be delivered to the hospital, and we will decide the method." Yes, they do, and they like to poke them and put stuff in them, too, even when you don't know it. Uh-huh. I said, "You're not even a medical person." The nurse then said, "We will release them once we've checked that everything is okay." Then I asked them, "And what happens to the children?" Silence. Again I asked, "What happens to the children?" Silence. Again I asked, "What happens to the children?" They all looked down. Uh-oh, shame. I saw their badges clearly then, and they all had this little black star right on the right side of their uniforms. Well, that reminded me of this, Acts 7:43, "And you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of the god Rephan, the figures which you made to worship them." Well, Moloch demanded the sacrifice of children, which means there will be no Christ born to you, right? In the dead churches, they will put to death Christ in you because they will not let you surpass who they are and what they do. Okay? And this is why they look down in shame, right? She said, "I believe these policemen and nurses represent the denominations who only preach a half gospel and rely on works or don't understand what real faith is. The reality is that they kill many spiritual newborns with their Pharaoh spirit of self, and nothing has changed. Spiritual babies in the womb of the mind are enemies of the flesh." Yeah. I pushed past my human jail cell and said, "The Lord is going to judge you. It is coming." I walked back to the airplane, crying about the evil and wailing for the children. It was terribly sad. I represent a corporate body, and there will be men in the corporate bride body who will be empowered to speak out against all these spiritual newborn abortions who never bring Christ to maturity in them. Well, of course, if you want Christ to live in you, you must put the Word in you. You must assimilate the Word in you. And because the Word is Christ. And these people avoid the Word. They are full of doctrines of demons and doctrines that are traditions of men. I woke up and received by faith at random Daniel 9:10. "Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws," that's where her finger was, "which he set before us by his servants, the prophets." Amen. They're not a church if they don't walk in the word of the Lord. Okay, Tiana Fire got this on 1:20-23, "Revival among the beast captives." Oh, praise the Lord. "I dreamt that there was a whole town that was built together as one giant building, like a motel. There was a giant man-made lake near the building, and on the other side was desert with many cacti." Well, I believe that this represents the apostate church that has a man-made water of the word that is stagnant, and it is built on a wasteland of barren soil. Isaiah 5, 8 through 9 says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no room, and you be made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. In mine ear shall the Lord of hosts of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant." And also the harlot rides the beast and cooperates with it to abuse and kill the masses, as we have seen. I don't know why people aren't catching up to these pastors who sent everybody to get their inoculations. That's all been pretty quiet. So, anyway, I felt that all towns were like this, all connected as one big structure. But it was quite a distance until the next town, and I felt that all towns were built this way so that it was easy and convenient living for everyone. So the apostate church system is a community of convenient doctrines, convenient lives, and easy come to church, you know, get justified on Sunday and go back and live like hell the rest of the week. So in this town, there was an almost gray, giant, sphere-shaped building that was high above ground, but it went much deeper underground. The top level of this building was a food court, a lounge room, and a shop for all different variety of items. The food court was the only place anyone could get food. They could eat it there or take it back to their rooms, but there were no other ways to get food. This is the way the church, Nicolaitan church, is. I mean, you either eat their food or you're out of there. Their spiritual food I'm talking about, obviously. So this is the Nicolaitan structure of the modern church, where their religions are the only place to be fed spiritually. But their baby food can never bring one into the maturity of Christ. Underneath the top floor were rooms set out like a motel for all the staff and the middle-class workers. They all had some sort of job in this town. Yes, they keep you busy so that you can't think about going somewhere else or growing up, you know. Some were gardening, some were cooking, some cleaning, and all sorts of other jobs. The people that lived in the building underground were filthy rich and didn't have to work. They owned the entire town. So, in other words, the whole mega church or denomination or whatever, they owned the entire town and everything in it and were in control of everything that happened. Man, Nicolaitan air has taken over. And these are the deep state over the Nicolaitan church pastors that live like kings. In 1 Samuel 8, 10 through 18, "And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king." You see the Nicolaitan air. Now the pastors are the head of the church. They just passed on what the Catholic Church, in as a mother of harlots, those harlots took up the same thing. They made a king. "And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them unto him for his chariots and to be his horsemen. And they shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint them unto him for captains of thousands and captains of fifties, and he will set some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and the instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be perfumers and to be cooks and to be bakers." Yeah. "And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your oliveyards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed," there you go, the tithe, and of your vineyards, and to give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day. So their rooms were much larger and fancier than the middle class rooms. They got everything they wanted delivered to them, and they had their rooms cleaned by staff workers, whereas everyone else cleaned their own rooms. The rich people would always stay underground. In other words, hidden from the perception of people above ground. I met the lady that managed the motel and asked her many questions about the place. She told me about how the richer people live the deepest underground, and they do whatever they want and get whatever they want. Well, ground in the scripture is flesh. And there are many people that are deeply into a fleshly lifestyle, right? She said something about a big change will be happening in the world soon, and the rich people are in control of it all. Yes, that's true too. She also said how the ones that live underground literally get anything they want, and that when someone at the motel injures themselves, instead of helping them recover, they take their kidneys and their rich people eat them. The rich people eat them. Well, you know, they don't know how to fix people. They quite often, you know, kill somebody, as I've received revelations concerning the pastors doing just this with the word, because they don't know how to fix anybody. They don't cast out demons, and they don't heal the sick, and so on and so forth. So this describes the deep state organ harvesting that goes on all over the world, especially in China, where it is done openly without consequence. So just in the natural, that's one point. The lady said that all the maids were terrified when going to clean the underground rooms, and they feared the people, but it had to be done. And they had to do what the people in control wanted, even though they feared them. They had no other choice. They couldn't just leave and go to another town, because all the towns were like this. All the towns were set up just for everyone to serve the people underground. This reminds me of the lyrics in the song Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. I went into the center of the bottom floor of the building, and the core was open, and I looked down to the building that went into the ground, and all the stairs were spiraling down to each level, and the rooms were around a circular path. Again, the deeper you go, the closer to hell you are, right? And there were more levels than I could count. And it went so deep into the ground. I then looked and saw a female maid on the level above me, and she fell off her level and onto mine, and she landed on her back. She was lying on the floor crying and begging me to not tell anyone. She wasn't complaining about the pain, but was extremely worried about anyone finding out what happened. She begged me to please pretend it didn't happen, and as she didn't want to be fed to the owners. They bite and devour one another, right? And worse, there's physical things. I know this will come as a surprise to many, but cannibalism is becoming normalized. There are even restaurants that serve human flesh, which somebody sold to them. Somebody did. Where did they get that, right? And also Paul gives this warning to the church, Galatians 5:13-15. Ye brethren were called for freedom, only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. I walked over to her and reached out my hand to help her up and said, Jesus has healed you. And she stood up and was completely healed. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself carried our sins in his body up to the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose bruise ye were healed. Okay, that was their version. Okay, she praised God and prayed for God to make a way out of this place for her. She then led me to a room that was like a motel in a building that was a 3-story rectangular building attached to the spherical building. There were hundreds and hundreds of motel rooms connected in this rectangular building, but it wasn't as big as the spherical building. The people that lived in this rectangular part were people that didn't have a job or were visitors. The lady took me to the very end room that was furthest away from the spherical building, and she said I could stay there. She gave me free access to all the foods in the top spherical building, and I could have anything for free in the shop, and she would clean my room for free. I definitely felt I wouldn't be here long, but there were people that God wanted me to witness to, and I thanked the woman and offered her a Bible, but she said she couldn't have it because they would kill her if she was found with it. Well, that's what they do, spiritually speaking. If you get too much into the Bible, you are a fanatic and you don't follow the rules of their religion. They're under the traditions of men, and that's what they put the pressure on you to do. So it was the same with the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus came along correcting them. They did not like that. Even though he healed the sick, raised the dead, and cast out devils, and did nothing but good, multiplied the food, and so on and so forth, they had to kill him. And then his disciples. Is it the same today? Yes, it is. I was hungry, so I went to the top floor of the spherical building. However, there wasn't anything that I was willing to eat. Well, I don't blame you. I wouldn't eat anything in Babylon either. You know, we must only consume the unleavened bread of the word and not the dainties of Babylon like Daniel and his friends, right? I went over to a group of people and started talking about Jesus, and we shared the real gospel. A man who was the leader of the group repented and fell on knees crying out to God, and he desired Jesus, and the rest of the group repented crying out to God also. You know, it's so true. These people are so sheltered they only hear that swill, you know. But many of them are hungry for more. They need to hear from people like you. because if you're careful and you go slow with them and feed them good spiritual food, you know, he that's of God hears the words of God. There are people in these dead institutions that are elect of God. They will be chosen because they will bear fruit, because you will tell them how to do that. Amen? It ended with all of them praising and worshiping God and singing very loudly and dancing to the Lord, and they didn't care if anyone heard or saw them, which they would have gotten into trouble for. Kind of like in these revivals, you know, the the heavy hand comes down from above. Let's calm it down a little bit here. We don't want to get too fanatical here. Let's not be doing this casting out demon stuff. Come on now. We danced and sang to the Lord also with them. A few of them went around telling everyone in the food court the real good news. And others cried out to God. And also in this revival broke out. So anyway, revival is coming to the true elect church as they're freed from Babylonian captivity, right? You're watching it happen, right? Luke chapter 12 and 37, blessed are those bondmen whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Amen, I say unto you, that he will gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and he shall come and serve them. Praise the Lord. Okay, you saw the houses jammed together, you know, into a denomination or a mega church or whatever, you know. So here's one. Dead whales and the voice of a false god. Joanne Thine, 2:18-23. In my dream, I was teaching very young children, kindergarten or preschool, in the basement of a yellowish ranch-style home in a subdivision. Well, yellow is the color of the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N, right? And this is God's true house, I believe. For some reason, I looked up and I saw that the ceiling of the basement was the ocean. Well, the house of God is immersed under the nations, peoples, and tongues represented by the sea. You know, we're all under these nations, right? We have to obey their rules to an extent, right? And so on. There was a row of sperm whales floating dead in the water, end to end. Aha, that sounds very similar, familiar. Whales, of course, are mammals and breathe air, so we could call them beasts. And I believe these represent denominational beasts of modern Christianity. The term whale is used in the GCR and in Las Vegas to describe those who are fat cats who have a lot of money. I would include the fat cat preachers of the demonizations, I call them demonizations. The Greek word for seed in the New Testament is often sperma, like these sperm whales, right? And represents the word of Christ sown in the heart of Christians, but in this case, it's not. It's a different seed, right? Their seed is false, and since they are mostly non-spirit-filled, they are really dead to the voice of the Lord. Isaiah 5:8-9 says, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field. That's that denominationalism. It's whale to whale, right? Till there be no room, and you be made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. In other words, if you're not a part of us, you're on the outside looking in, right? In mine ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because multitudes are going to get their eyes opened by the Lord, and they're going to come out from among them. And Isaiah 4:1, 7 women shall take hold of one man in that day, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. Take thou away our reproach. So they want to be called Christians. The one man, of course, is the Lord. But they want to eat their own bread And bread, of course, represents our spiritual food, right? And wear their own apparel, which means to put on Jesus Christ and not another Jesus, right? So that's what they want. They want to do what they want to do, but still be Christians. I looked down at the children again, and when I looked back up, there was another row of a different species of whales, perhaps beluga, running parallel to the first row, also floating dead and floating end to end. Again, I looked down and back up and saw a third row of dead whales parallel to the other two rows. Well, the dead denominations are powerless to save, deliver, heal, and so on. So let me say that many go looking elsewhere, and a lot of poor people end up in cults, and they're looking for the real God. They didn't find him in their mama and daddy's dead religion, and so they go looking, and you heard the testimonies all over the world how they ended up in this cult or that cult. Or sometimes they come into the full gospel. When a person gets spirit-filled in the midst of these dead churches, they long for more. They believe, well, Jesus, you know, led us to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit would lead us and guide us in all truth. And they go to following the Spirit, and lo and behold, the first thing he does is lead them out. We would have healed Babylon, but she would not be healed. Let us flee every man to his own country. I suddenly thought, I need to find out what is happening. I went upstairs and outside into a small weathered deck on the back of the house. And when I looked out at the subdivision, I saw a great light coming down from heaven over the subdivision, but not on my house. So it was distant enough that I could observe it while not being in it. That's a good thing. The New Age captures some of these dead denominational people, and they're talking about an enlightenment coming from what they believe are heavenly angels or aliens. But we we know that they are demons. And this is meant to deceive Christians against true Christianity, because these aliens are coming to prove that they are the ones that planted us here. Yes. And they lead people away from Christianity. They have disregard for Christianity. These are ignorant people to them, you know. And of course, these dead denominational people are the most vulnerable, represented by the whales. They will fall for it. They will die. You know, you've heard of twice dead and plucked up by the roots. That's only a person that's born again and then falls away again. And if you stay in one of those dead churches, you will be dead like the rest of them. And as we will see, the righteous truth lovers will not be deceived. So everyone was captivated by the light. And I believe this is representing the light of the deep state planned alien deception. The deep state believe in a false alien deception, but their alien contacts are good aliens. There's no such thing as a good alien. So they believe that their aliens are good aliens. And there are those bad aliens over there, you know. But no, they're just as deceived as the rest. I heard a loud voice speaking, but I couldn't discern the words. Well, the elect will not have ears to hear the deceiving voice of the beast through the media and the neural transmitters, or like a Project Bluebeam, or any such thing as that. All right, they're not going to hear that. The righteous will not hear that. They will not be deceived. Everyone was outside on their decks mesmerized, looking up, and saying that God was speaking to them. Well, they will hear the voice of a false Jesus. Jesus said of his true sheep in John 10:7-8, Jesus therefore said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. In John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Meaning these people that were considering him, but did not follow him. But they would follow another, a deceiver. I was disheartened and thought to myself, I know you, God. I follow you. Why can't I hear your voice? Have I deceived myself? I tried to hear what the voice was saying, but I couldn't. It reminds me of the false revival movement, how people went in there and they saw people enjoying themselves and doing crazy stunts and everything, and wondering, why don't I feel this? Why don't I understand this? And then as the Lord revealed to them, they received, of course, that it was a deception. Then I thought to myself, wait, that's not how God speaks to me. He speaks to my heart and my mind. I know his voice. He wouldn't hide from me. That's not God. That's an electronic speaker. God doesn't use speakers. Well, John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And also John 10:5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Yes, he that's of God hears the words of God. Mm-hmm. I felt grieved because the people didn't know better, and they were listening to whatever this was. And just then there was a rush of wind, and I saw a bunch of different wild animals rushing towards the subdivision from the tall pine trees outside. Well, this rushing wind probably represents a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. I had a dream of wild animals who represented the Gentiles in the ark, rushing onto the UBM refuge through a great revival. Yes. See, we are all come to the kingdom of God as beasts, and he changes us, right? Acts 2:2 says, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they received the tongues of fire. In case some of you don't believe in tongues. I dreamed this a couple of years ago. About 2 weeks later, I was introduced to the idea of Project Bluebeam. Mm-hmm. That came to me as I was reading this, and often wondered if there was a connection. I think so. It's one of the things involved here, I believe. Okay, this is a Handmaid of the Most High, who was very deeply into Satanism, and she knows some things. The name of this we call Testimony of Being Trafficked in the Church. And this was July 11, 2022. And first she gave Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yes, that's true. There are many scribes and Pharisees out there still. Leviticus 18:21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. That's the sacrificing of the babies, right? Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. And she said, for those familiar with all my postings, I have mentioned my exposure to darkness growing up in the occult. Those familiar with its workings, who have great knowledge of its operation, often ask me questions since my family was at the highest level, and many don't even know about this level. I have had officials, psychologists, researchers from all over the world contact me, and I never charged for my assistance or guidance. What I haven't mentioned is how many churches were involved in child trafficking, both in the U.S. and worldwide. She knew that. She was in it. It isn't important what denomination my father was ordained in. Yes, the man served God, quote-unquote, for more than 30 years. Why? Because there were so many in all the denominations, even the Catholic Church across the street from one of the churches where he was posted. The churches are all infiltrated. It is a strategy by Satan and his minions. That specific priest regularly sodomized me multiple times per visit, and then before I was returned to my father, he made me repent to him for making him rape me and perform a Catholic purification ritual. I was ages 6 through 8 when this happened. Much worse happened in that church basement, though the Catholic Church had other reports on this specific priest. He was shuffled around to other parishes in different states to continue his evil. I learned of this when speaking with someone whose male cousins had been abused by him 50 years earlier, the same time period as me, after it happened. And when I started remembering what happened to me, my MK Ultra mind control was starting to break down. The church learned about my experiences and absolutely nothing happened. I only shared the sexual abuse, not the trafficking. I hadn't had those memories yet. It was still happening to me. And for years after, I didn't even think of what happened in those terms. The only thing I do know was my earthly father resigned one church. He was 62 and called it retirement. He then went on to work in the next county at another church. So that's how they kept moving around. Yeah, perverting children, destroying lives. Folks, of the hundreds of survivors I've talked to, many had fathers who sexually abused them who were church leaders, missionaries, or pastors. Many of them were also Satanists. One woman who was a child of a missionary sent to Asia would do Christian worship during the day and satanic rituals with the citizens and their children at night. Very similar to my own experiences in the various churches where my father presided in the U.S. I wish we were the exceptions. Yet many in the church still want to ignore it. Some of the survivors wanted nothing to do with the Heavenly Father or with Jesus, feeling that they were totally abandoned while the worst things imaginable happened to them. Satan hates children. What so many who never experienced such torment can even imagine or fathom being done to children from the time that they are infants. Many were amazed at my own faith and love for Jesus. I do remember him there comforting me a few times along the way. I won't lie, I had a great struggle dealing with my own horrors and the witnessing of atrocities that are so dark I still get choked up talking of them, including the murder of my own babies and close friends. Ezekiel 16:21 and Jeremiah 19:5, she gives. Stop believing that someone with a title implying that they are holy actually is a true follower of Christ. Of course, some are, but some are not. Jesus frequently exposed the Pharisees and the Sadducees for their wickedness, like in Matthew 23:1-26, Mark 12:38-40, Luke 11:37-52, Luke 18:9-14. The ravening wolves have been hiding in the church since the beginning of time. Matthew 7:15 and John 8:13. They are still there today. God sees it. It is going to be completely and utterly exposed, and he will deliver the perfect punishment. It is true. The lower-level churches, as I call them, the farther down you go, the less there are saved people in that church. And some of them are there seeking forgiveness from God, but they don't know how to repent. And they don't know the power of God or how to take hold of the power of God. Some of them, people there, are like that. They've been delivered over to demons. They themselves were taken by the wolves and ruined and demon-possessed and so on and so forth. I prayed for both parents for decades to repent. They are both now deceased. The Holy Spirit told me neither repented, and their punishment is ongoing. Repent if you are in any way involved. That includes the parents that look the other way. Otherwise, it would be better that you have a millstone or a boulder around your neck and be thrown into the sea, Matthew 18:6. There is much more to my story. I was trafficked to some of the most well-known men in the world and often used by politicians, captains of industry, music and movie industry leaders, and crowds and crowd pleasers, and knew the evil man Jeffrey Epstein and his cohort. If you knew how many pastors are involved and some of their names, some known worldwide, you would be astonished. However, many still ignore that it happens and call the victims liars. Beware, you will answer for that. I still have night terrors, but they have greatly subsided through the tremendous healing power of the Holy Spirit. To all the survivors out there, Jesus was there. He was very grieved by the pain you suffered. You will be healed completely. He wants to take your pain. Choose to forgive. Choose to turn the offenders over to him for their punishment. It is great. Luke 17:1-4. Hebrews 13:5. Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 15:3. And she says, thank you to heaven's shofar for speaking the truth of the coming judgment of these evildoers. 2 Peter 2:3. Well, we know about an Edomite perversion cult. We know more than they think we know. The man-child is coming with war to judge the wicked Edomites who are traitors of their chosen brothers. Obadiah 1:8-10. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? We've seen these people taken over by these spirits that are traitors of their brethren. And they all become stupid. In fact, we call them the stupid demons that have them, the stupid demons, for obvious reasons. There's no reasoning, no conscience, nothing that they need there to walk with humans. Okay? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that everyone may be cut off from the mount of Esau by slaughter. For the violence done to thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Yes, they are full of satanic perversions. The latest leader of the faction stayed in contact with this perversion cult when he was with us. He was caught lusting after our women in many dreams through many different people. He tried to run off with one of our youngest girls, tried to seduce a married woman, got called in several times until he threw up his hands and became so angry that we were stopping him from doing his sin. And he ran off and brought our sight down, and we can prove this, and a lot of other things. So, and slandered us everywhere he could. And his own wife witnessed against him that he was a liar. She called me twice over to her to tell me that. He slandered us to try to cover for his sins. And all the way back to the beginning in 2011, we experienced factious leaders who were turned over to this by the Lord, and they were caught in perversion. The Lord turned them over to a reprobate mind because of this. And this is the best description of them ever. I will read it to you. You've heard it before, even today. Romans 1:24-32. Wherefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. For that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave them up unto vile passions, for their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was due, and even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind, that's a rejected mind, to do those things which are not fitting. Yes, we had a cult of people who proclaimed that they repented of that cult, which was into every kind of fornication you can imagine. They were called the children of God, and they were anything but the children of God. And their leader, Moses David, was a pervert in every form. And how can you make a religious group out of something like that? I don't know. But they proclaimed that they had repented of that, and they came to us. They were very excited about what we were teaching and the revelations we were getting, but we found out later they hadn't repented, and some had even gotten worse. They wanted to hide their sin instead of get delivered. They came to the right place to get delivered. But you know what? God would not let them stay in our midst. All the way up to their leaders, He would not let these people. He cleansed us of these people. Amen. But it was a great lesson we're able to pass on to the church. And the church needs to hear what we have to say here. Okay. Verse 29. being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things. You say, how could people get that bad? You think they couldn't have all of this, could? Yes, they could. Yes, they could. And when God turns you over to the devil takes you where he wants you. And he demands perversion of his followers. Now, they say that they're Christians, but they are not. They are Satanists. And they're disobedient. They have no conscience of the word. I've tried to convince them with the word. You can't touch them. They have no conscience. Disobedient to parents. Yes, spiritual and physical. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Unmerciful. Who, knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. So these are the Edomites who persecuted their chosen brother, and they will be judged by the man-child as David did. David judged the Edomites. And we pray. Anybody that is in our group, they know that we pray for the elect among them to come out. Some even of the lowliest and nastiest will come out humbled, realizing where they came from. You know what I mean? So it's not how nasty or evil you are. It's will God grant you repentance? And he does grant repentance to some of the worst people on the face of the earth. So we pray that the elect among them, that's the chosen ones among them, would come out and receive understanding. And it will happen. Ezekiel 34:23-24 says, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." Well, this is the David man-child reformers that the Lord has told us are about to be anointed. Mm-hmm. "And I, Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it." Amen. And then, right on down, Ezekiel 35:1-15. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir." That's the leadership of Edom. "And prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against thee, O Mount Seir." He is especially against the leaders who are the same perverts who are slandering good people to their poor, ignorant people who receive demons from them. And their witchcraft, by the way, has been sent out to try to kill many. "O Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee a desolation and an astonishment. O Lord, please, before they pervert and kill any more of your people, I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Because thou hast had a perpetual enmity and hast given over the children of Israel to the power of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time of the iniquity of the end." That's where we are. "Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee, since thou hast not hated blood. Therefore, blood shall pursue thee. Thus will I make Mount Seir an astonishment and a desolation, and I will cut off from it him that passeth through and him that returneth, and I will fill its mountains with its slain, and thy hills and thy valleys, and in all thy watercourses shall they fall that are slain with the sword. I will make thee a perpetual desolation, and thy cities shall not be inhabited, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, I will do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou hast showed out of thy hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them, and when I shall judge thee. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, have heard all thy revilings which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to devour. And you have magnified yourselves against me with your mouth, and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard it. You don't just speak against God's children, you speak against him. I have heard it. Thus saith the Lord, when the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate. As thou didst rejoice over the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all of Edom, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Yes, indeed. Well, the church is going to go through the same things that the man, child, and bride are going through before the church enters the tribulation. Mm-hmm. And that's because they need to be educated of this process that people go through to separate the tares from the wheat. And so then they can turn and teach the church, the woman in the wilderness, about the tares and the wheat. And how you handle this situation, which is a crucifixion, and how you submit to your crucifixion, all the while you do spiritual warfare against the wicked and their demons. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you so much for this lesson today. And we thank you for pouring out your spirit on your people and using this as an education for them to know these things that are coming on a much larger scale. And now they're being prepared for this and how to handle this. Thank you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your grace and your mercy towards your people in delivering them from evil. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Amen. All right, saints, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Good night.